This week's Walking Dead recap is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions like navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your car's value by mileage. You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you'll know how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a True Cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True Cash offer not available in all areas. The Walking Dead Season 9, Episode 15 is over, but we're just getting started with our recap of the calm before the dot, dot, dot. And now here are the two people who have to be very, very sad to talk about those Walking Dead characters that we've lost tonight. I am Rob Sestrini here with Jessica Lease. Jessica, we're sad.
I thought you'd sad have night. I thought you'd have the air horns out already.
Sad night.
Oh, okay.
We lost so many of our beloved members of the Hilltop. All of the kids, the teenagers, those rambunctious kids. It's very sad.
Who's gonna throw illicit parties now?
Yeah. And Tara, we'll talk about Tara. Nobody cares about Tara. Poor Enid. Yeah. Nobody cares about
poor Enid.
And there was somebody else too that we lost. I lost track in my notes.
Oh, right. What's his name? The dude, the highwayman dude.
Oh, you the star of the show, Henry.
Oh. That's right.
It's a party at the Kingdom tonight. Take it, Alpha. You know what? This was great. This was the whole thing was great. I have to say that. So just that to tell it from my own perspective. So I was terribly spoiled. I was recording the TV theme song tournament for 4 hours on Sunday night. And so I said, okay, it's the seventh episode. They're not going to do anything big in the seventh episode. So let's record on Monday night. And of course, that kudos to The Walking Dead for killing off a bunch of characters in a seventh episode. Because and not like, hey, don't miss this week's Walking Dead where a bunch of characters are going to die. So kudos to The Walking Dead, but that totally screwed. And then everybody had no chill, as they should not, because everybody should be tweeting away as soon as Henry is dead on the show.
Yeah, I would put my phone down and I'd look up and I'd look back down at my phone and I'd have like 100 notifications in my Twitter.
Yeah. So this was crazy. This was crazy. I'm sure that you'll have stuff to talk about with the comics, but were you blindsided? Was this played out in the same way in the comics?
Well, here's the thing, Rob. I think this really plays differently if you are a comics reader, because there are certain beats at the top of the episode that made me realize, oh, crap, this is happening this week. It's all happening. And I knew this was coming. This was a thing that was happening. Capital T thing.
Yeah.
But I realized very quickly they were going to go that route. They were going to Game of Thrones it up in here and give us all the good stuff in this week and then give us all the fallout next week. And as soon as I saw that, I started tweeting like terrible jokes about heads for the entire rest of the hour, but It was great. Like, watching it, yeah. I knew what the conclusion was going to be. I knew where we were going, and watching us get there was such a joy, even though it's such a terrible thing to talk about 10 people being decapitated.
Yeah, but they're not real people. They're not real people. Yeah.
They are fictional people, and those are animatronic heads. But
yeah.
It was not
good ones either. Yeah.
Not particularly good ones.
But I wonder if I would have been able to sniff this out as I was watching it, because the whole thing is pretty ominous from the get-go, where, you know, it's like everything is happy, happy, happy. And even in the cold open, you sort of got a sense of that with these rando red shirts that are on a date. And they end up being slain by Alpha. Now, Alpha is going to then take this woman's complete hair and head, or I don't know what she did with her head. Just how did that work? That Alpha killed this woman and then took her hair and wore it like a wig? How did that work?
Well, I was wondering the same thing, but I do think that it was helped along by the fact that she also had that straw hat. Like, I don't think the look would have been particularly convincing had there not been a hat.
But later in the episode, she didn't have the hat.
Yeah, it was dark out by that point.
I don't know. I don't think that's how it works. If you cut somebody's hair off, you could just wear their hair like a wig. I've never scalped someone.
Nor have I.
Yeah.
Hope I never will.
Hey, don't call me Alpha. I'm Debbie. Call me Debbie.
And that hair looked like a wig when it was on the person that owned it. Let's be real. No wonder she targeted those people.
Can I say, the thing that I am the most upset about with all of this here, and of course, like, we'll talk about the good, but Tara got such the I would say the short end of the stick, but it was a rather lengthy stick.
The pointy end of the stick.
Yeah, but didn't Tara get completely the short shirt? Like, forget about Enid, who has been a series regular for years. Tara, who has been with us since season 4, and I thought is probably like the sixth or seventh lead on the show. She's like an afterthought that she got killed in this episode. And who was the last head that we got the reveal? Frickin' Henry!
Even in death, there is nothing Henry can do to please you, Rob.
No! Hey, even Jess, on The Talking Dead, who did they put last in the in memoriam? Henry!
Rob, the only thing Henry could have done that would have made you happy is die, and he did that.
It's his fault everybody else is dead.
That's also true.
If it wasn't for Henry, nobody would have died.
This is why I keep coming back week after week, Rob, is your all caps rants about Henry.
This is the last one. I don't have any more.
Well, I don't know. They'll probably talk about him a lot in the next episode, so you could complain that they're talking about him too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, next season, Carol's probably going to continue to be sad about it, so you could complain that she's too sad about Henry.
I could not believe this. Like, how did Tara, of all people, why'd they kill off Tara? And then why is Tara's death not considered to be the top story?
Well, Rob, there's two things I want to touch on here. The first thing, we're going to have to put a pin in this and wait till the comic book zone, because
put a pike in it.
Yeah, put a pike in it and wait for the comic book zone. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No.
No. But I want to point out that let's properly eulogize Tara while we're here. This show, let's be totally real, this show has not known what to do with Tara for at least 4 seasons. She had a great origin story, I thought, and mm-hmm. she brought something new to the group. I loved her with Glenn. I loved
good relationship with Glenn.
The whole thing with the governor. I loved the Road to Terminus stuff. I mean, I never shut up about the Road to Terminus stuff, but
you love Road to Terminus.
She brought a lot to the table then.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, she had a great relationship. I think pretty much everything that happened to her after the death of Denise,
Right.
It's just been a big question mark. It's like they don't know what to do with her.
The Denise stuff was good. Denise stuff was good.
Yeah, it was great.
Yes.
Yeah, and now she doesn't really, we don't know what she does for a job, so maybe we'll put her in charge.
Yeah, she never had another love interest. She never rebounded. Then she had her kill switch on for a while. That was her thing.
Yeah, but she would had her kill switch on in such a weird way, too. Like, she would... It didn't make sense with everything we knew about where her character came from. And then it would just randomly cut to her wearing, like, weird sunglasses and eating Twizzlers that she found somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay.
Actually, did she have a love interest at Oceanside? I forget if she, like, had a flirt man.
She had friends at Oceanside. Yeah. And I think she kind of...
Oh, yeah. And she knew where the guns were, right? And then she gave up that info.
Yeah, it was... She never had, like, she did some things, but she never had a role after she lost Denise. Mm-hmm. I feel like the show really struggled to give her anything to do that made sense with the character we knew, and the show didn't really know her at that point. So they would give her, like, a quirk instead of a personality trait, and that was hard to watch, and I would imagine if I was Alana Masterson, I would be really frustrated by that. I could see wanting out, or I could see being.
You think
okay
she wanted out?
Out? I don't know if she wanted out. I think she was probably okay with it after a certain point. And I thought there was some potential with being in charge of the Hilltop without Maggie and Jesus around, but it just felt like they were just putting her in that slot because they didn't know who else to give that job to. It mm-hmm. wasn't because of anything she could or couldn't do, because they didn't really know what she could or couldn't do. So it was like, okay, I think it's sure she's – I think Josh Wigler pointed out in his Hollywood Reporter article that she's number 4 on the call sheet, and that's not insignificant. She's been around a very long time, but if they can't give her a meaningful arc, then I think it's her time. I think it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Enid is also gone. The saga of Enid, she went from JSS to, who can forget, roller skating with Carl.
They're roller skating in heaven together now.
And unfortunately, her latest romance was does not have a happy ending for Enid.
Poor Alden.
For Enid and Alden. Eldon.
Eldon. Elton. I kept calling him Aiden for the first half of this season.
Yes. Yes. Please. Can we stop with Alden and Luke's duet? Stop it. Stop. With up-tempo, down-tempo. Just knock it off with the a cappella. Stop it. Stop it. This is the wrong show.
And why did they... Why did they have, like, vintage sheet music to cover a 1980s pop hit? Was it 80s or 70s? I can't actually remember which song it was. And I was like, that would not be on, like, yellowed paper written out in, like, orchestral manuscript.
Well, then, yeah, they're singing an old song there. And then, how about the movie? They're showing, like, what, like a 1940s cartoon? Where the hell did they get that from?
Maybe it's the only thing they have.
Who had that?
It came with the projector, okay? Well,
why wouldn't the projector have, like, a movie that was playing in 2010 when the zombie apocalypse happened?
Because the looters got that one. Like, people looted all the stuff that could be possibly valuable, and they took all the movie reels except this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that one, that was weird. Like, people have posted links to the original cartoon. I haven't watched the whole thing, but you could see glimpses. Like, I see why they chose that particular thing, even though nobody born after 1950 ever watched a Baby Huey cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a very disturbing scene where somebody, like, rips all of the skin off of the head of one of the characters, and that's foreshadowing mm-hmm. something, obviously, but nobody would laugh at that. People, when it came out, didn't laugh at that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've never funny. Seen a cartoon before, these kids. They don't know. They don't know what's up. Jess, so how did Alpha pull this all off?
Alpha is very sneaky. The thing that I found the most baffling about Alpha is not that she was able to wear the top of someone's head as hair,
mm-hmm.
but that she was able to clean up so nicely. Like, she savagely murders someone and cuts their scalp off and is still able to wear their clothes without any bloodstains. And she's able to wash her face to the point where she looks like a normal human being. Like, those aren't bruises or, like, permanent dirt marks. That's something she... We are meant to believe she puts that on her face every day normally, and this is her taking it off. It's like she has access to all this stuff. She just chooses not to.
Mm-hmm.
That's baffling to me.
Yeah. I mean, she's a master of disguise, Alpha.
I guess.
We've established that. She has her walker disguise. She has her Debbie disguise.
Yeah, and she looked... She was basically unrecognizable as Samantha Morton when she was Alpha. And I was kind of shocked at the physical transformation. And then she gets in her Debbie suit and she looks like Samantha Morton from Sweet and Low Down. And it's like, oh, okay, there's Samantha Morton. That's kind of amazing. And I have to give a lot of props to her because that kind of physical transformation is hard to do.
Other than the reveal of Henry, I think that was my favorite scene in the episode when Debbie was talking to Ezekiel.
Right. And we need to put a pin in that for the comic book zone as well.
But oh.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. You're going to love it. I don't want to tease too much because then I end up accidentally spoiling things. But there was a lot in here that was just very subtle nods to things that happened in the comics. And I really loved that, as well as all of the foreshadowing. Yeah. Like, you would just – there would just be a random shot of, like, candy apples on a stick. They look like heads.
Jess, how did the timeline hold up for you in the episode? Because I feel like it's a little wonky.
It's hard to tell because I think it was purposely disorienting.
Yes.
And they kept jumping back, and they kept jumping back and forth to, like, earlier in the day when everybody was still alive, and they start looking around for people, and then all of a sudden it's nighttime, and Alpha is having her confrontation with Lydia, and it's told very non-linearly, so I don't think we're supposed to be able to put too much stock. Like, we aren't going to be able to go back and, like, do that thing somebody did with the entire run of Lost where we edit every scene into chronological order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's say it's okay. It's 8 o'clock at the fair, and we saw, like, the search party with Michonne and Daryl and Carol. And who's Magna's girlfriend?
Yumiko.
And they go out, and that's also at night. And then that somehow Alpha, that she kills everybody, and then in the same night manages to catch back up with Daryl.
I think what happened was during the day at the fair, they, like, throughout the course of the day, they collect people and put them in the barn.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alpha, at night, there's the movie, and Alpha goes and has her conversation with Lydia. Then she goes and meets up with Daryl. And they have the forest confrontation, and they have the conversation about, well, we made our border. You'll know when you see it. And then the sun comes up. And as the sun comes up over the hill, they approach the northern border, and that's when you see the heads.
Okay. All right. So were all those people dead at the time that we saw Alpha with Daryl?
I think they must have already been dead.
Okay. It's also very weird that it's nighttime when Alpha walks away with Daryl, but then it is day in the next time we see them.
Well, I think we're meant to believe they walked around all night.
They walked around all night. Okay. To take Daryl to the quarry with all of the walkers.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What about the way that the episode framed this, where I was watching Scott Gimple on The Talking Dead, and he was talking about how that he loved this idea when Angela Kang came to him as, this terrible thing is going to happen, but the show's going to spin it as a positive because Sadiq is not going to tell the story that Alpha slash Debbie wanted to tell. Sadiq is going to tell the story about how the people who were tied up and captured, they fought back.
Well, I think you have to tell the story that way because of all of the tension leading up to this fair. It wasn't just like, oh, we all live in our separate communities and we're all going to come together and we're excited for it. There was so much stress around who should come to the fair and are we mad at people and are we talking to people and, oh, do we trust them? Do we not trust them? And the fact that you got everybody together to agree on coming to the fair and you made such diplomatic headway as far as getting the treaty signed and everything.
Really, Jess?
Too soon. I know. I mean, the fact that you had to do all this work to get all these people together, you could very easily say, well, look what happens when you get all these people together. Your heads are going to roll. And you don't want that. You have to, I think Sadiq sees in that moment, he could tell everybody, yeah, this was a terrible thing. Let's never have a fair again. Or he can spin it another way to make sure that everybody understands it's all of us against those people. It's not, we have to all be one people now, and we have to, the spirit of community is the only way we're going to get through this. I think it could have gone very badly if they'd picked a different person to come back. Like, if they'd picked somebody who's been living under Michonne's isolationist policies for 5 years, they come in and they're like, yeah, see, look what happens. This is why we shouldn't have fairs.
Now, I don't get the alpha plan here, because would we have not gotten the message to see nine heads on a pike where it's like, how did this happen? Who did this? This is so weird. These people were at the fair and now they're decapitated on these spikes. It doesn't make any sense. That we needed the missing piece for Sadiq to say, no, the Whisperers did this. I know who did this. It was Alpha.
Well, they want him to, yeah. They, I mean, people aren't just going to assume, well, it might have been those guys we hired to work security. That's probably not the conclusion they're going to draw.
Alpha finds Daryl and Michonne and everybody in the and says, hey, I did this.
She didn't know they were coming. They didn't RSVP. She wanted to make sure they got the message.
Yeah. I'm starting to think Sadiq is a jinx.
He could be. He's brought a lot of terrible things down on everybody's heads. Like, he was the reason Carl is dead. But he's a doctor, so I'm sure he's probably saved some lives, too. It all balances out.
So the people that they decided to knock off, any rhyme or reason, or it was just what did poor Tammy do?
It's terrible and random. And I think for storytelling purposes, it's a lot of people that have great things going on in their lives.
Yes.
And so they set this up like, oh, well, you know, Enid was in the throes of new love. Like, they just defined the relationship.
DTR, right.
Yeah, they just DTR'd, and Tammy just adopted a new baby. And I'm sure those guys that we've never seen before, I'm sure they had plenty of things going on. And, you know, DJ used to be a savior, and he's redeemed. And, you know, Tara was finally getting to be in charge of something, and she actually had a job for the first time in 6 seasons.
And this young woman, who I call her Hannah in my notes, the girl this girl is truly twisted. She has a thing for Henry.
Is that Addie?
Addie, yes.
With the glasses?
Addie with the glasses. Did you think that it was a nice gesture, or it was a little too much for the Whisperers to put Addie's glasses back on her head?
Well, I think they put it there just so there was no mistaking, like
who is that? Who is that? I don't even know who that is.
I mean, there's only like two teenage girls in the entire zombie apocalypse, so it's gonna be one or the other, and you know, Lydia's accounted for, so
oh boy. I really can't believe that they did Tara like this.
Yeah, it was a pretty terrible way to go out.
Yeah. And this was the night where Tara was the one poo-pooing this sort of mutual retaliation agreement.
Yeah, and she had stuff going on. Like, she was really They were talking about, like, we should all get together and, like, train some people in fighting. We got stuff to learn from each other. We can collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
And, yep, and then it, the, you know, the lottery comes up and Tara is the lucky winner.
Yeah. Do you think that Enid wanted off the show?
I'm sure she did not want off the show.
Yeah.
It's a pretty sweet gig if you can get it, as long as you don't care that your character has nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But Enid had plenty to do, and I feel like her character is really coming into her own, which is one of the reasons it's kind of disappointing to see her go out. But I think the actor's going to go on to do great things. She was wonderful this past season. I think kind of a rocky start maybe, but she was doing very well with what she had. And
mm-hmm.
I feel like the show did a much better job of finding things for Enid to do than they did finding things for Tara to do.
The Hilltop has had a real wipeout of leadership here in this. Forget Gregory. We've lost Maggie, who, you know, at some point you would think that Maggie would hear about all this death and destruction and may come back in this direction. It seems very, very unkind that Maggie is just off learning so much about the world of records that she would never come back and visit in all this time. So Maggie is gone. Jesus is gone. Tara is gone. Enid is gone. Tammy is gone. Who is left to run the Hilltop? Earl the Blacksmith?
Yeah, there's a real power vacuum there. I mean, there's mm-hmm. there's Gage, there's Sadiq, there's Alden.
It's I thought Sadiq was part Alden. Of Alexandria.
Oh, yeah, he is, because he's moving in with Rosita in the polyamorous triad.
Yes.
That's right.
They might that's just have right. to close up shop on the Hilltop.
Yeah, they might. Or Alden can probably take it over. I mean, he's...
Alden! He was a savior!
Give him some time to recover. Like, he's going to be in mourning, but...
And they should let Negan run the Hilltop.
Give Negan something to do.
Right. Like, right, like, the, like didn't they do that, like, to appease Napoleon? Like, here's this other place.
You know, I don't think the answer is giving Negan another settlement to run into the ground.
Why not? Prop Negan up, and then he could fight with the Whisperers.
I'm not sure that anybody living at the Hilltop is going to go along with that one.
This is a sound strategy. Look, this is better than anything else they've got going.
I don't know. I feel like Hilltop has the best facilities. Like, it's between Hilltop and Alexandria. Like, Alexandria has the solar panels and the, like, McMansions, but
mm-hmm.
Hilltop has the agricultural ground, and they have that big historic house.
Yeah. Okay. Jess, what else should we take away from this exciting hour of The Walking Dead? Hour and 28 minutes.
Well, we probably want to take a minute to talk about some of the other people that are on the Pikes.
Yes.
I was very disappointed that that's all we're getting of the Highwaymen. Like, what a nowhere story that was.
Yep.
Like, that guy seems like he might be cool. And so we're just going to kill him right away.
Yep. They almost saved the day there at the end. Ozzy, yeah. Alec, and DJ found us.
Yep. Well, DJ is somebody who I want to touch on as well, because DJ is a little bit interesting. And there are a couple of characters here that I had to go back and, like, look them up and see, because the show gave us varying degrees of who these people were. And you would really have to be a very close watcher of the show to get this. But DJ started out as a savior.
Mm-hmm.
And he apparently defected from the saviors more than once.
Oh.
And was present, like, when Simon died, and he eventually worked his way into being a productive member of society with this bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've noticed him before because he bears a passing resemblance to Brian Heidick.
Oh.
And I remember an earlier episode.
Is he an archer also?
I'm hoping not. Okay. I imagine that Daryl's probably not a big fan of him.
Mm-hmm.
If he is. But I think we actually noticed this in an earlier episode. We're like, who the hell is that guy? And have we seen him before? We had to look it up. Like, his name is DJ. We've seen him a couple of times. He's been around since the beginning of season 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other person that we may not have recognized, there's one guy that's Ozzy's friend that we've never seen before. Don't worry about him. But there's also Frankie, who was one of Negan's wives. She's also a former savior.
Oh.
With the red hair.
Oh, I had no idea that was the same person.
Yeah, it's the same person. I wouldn't have noticed that either. I had to go in and look this up. But we have seen her many times before. She was the wife that was trying to get Eugene to make a cold medicine drug to kill Negan with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then she also stopped Henry during the episode and said, hey, are you looking for somebody?
Yeah, yeah. And that was kind of out of nowhere. And I think it was just to like be like, hey, look at that hair. I bet you're going to see that hair later on a stick. And she's been a background player. She's been kind of like a Tobin level player this whole season.
Tobin level like, player.
Yeah. I'm making that
nothing
a thing.
To sneeze at.
Yeah. I don't think she's going to get to, like, I don't think she ever got to get with anybody in the main cast, but she was in the background and she adopted a daughter at some point. Like, she looked pretty good. And that girl with her, like, I don't think that could have been her real daughter, but she adopted this girl and she's been, like, kind of one of the, she's in the parenting group.
Okay.
So she's somebody who also has a long history, relatively long history with the show. And I think people that watch the show much more closely than people that actually podcast about it would probably have tracked that immediately. Actually, I don't know anybody that would have caught on to that immediately, but I think it's worth noting here.
Yeah. I mean, they did the whole thing on like in memoriam on the Talking Dead for all of the Pike people.
Yeah, and I think the show does a good enough job of setting it up so that you see like where they are in context, like you see people looking for them. And again, that's something we'll get to when we get to the comic book zone. But I thought it was really well done because it's like, no, we're not going to know all of these people equally well, but they all have rich lives and people that are going to miss them.
Jessa, is it possible that Sadiq's story could have been apocryphal? Did it actually happen?
I think we got confirmation from Angela Kang that it did happen.
Okay. Because I don't know why Alpha would take each person individually and then hogtie them and then put them in the stable when they could have just like killed each person as they grabbed them.
Well, then there's the risk that somebody's going to find the headless body before you're ready to do the big reveal. There's a lot of theatrics involved here.
I mean, where's the head going?
On
you have
stick.
A pile of heads.
Yeah, and also, like, all your sticks are in one place. It's just an economical movement.
They almost all got away!
Yeah, they almost did. I don't know. I've never spearheaded a project of this magnitude.
Jess, you are in rare form tonight. You are on fire.
I got warmed up last night live tweeting the episode with head puns, and I'll be here like all week. Like I'm going to do it. I'm not even going to know I'm doing it. It's just like, it's unconscious. It's like all out of my, it's out of my hands now. So there was another thing I wanted to talk about, and this is kind of like not necessarily in the show itself, but we need to talk about what AMC did people dirty who didn't watch the show live.
Chris Hardwick touched on this at the opening of the show.
I'm sure people were just tweeting abuse at him. I bet he got death threats for this, even though he's not even the one that did it. But AMC has done some pretty shady stuff with regard to trying to get us to watch their other shows before.
Right.
Like, we call this low winter sunning. They did the thing where they made us watch the boat show before we could see scenes from the next episode, or they made it so that your DVR would record the boat show in addition to The Walking Dead, and they called it a 2-hour episode, and it was like, no, this is not a 2-hour episode. They're just trying to make you watch the terror.
Tricking you.
Yeah. And this was the worst, though. This was the absolute worst, because if you were DVRing The Walking Dead and you didn't know any of this, you didn't know you were to expect a supersized episode, like maybe you went out, like maybe, God forbid, you had a dinner date or something. You went out and you came back from your date and you're like, I'm going to sit down and watch The Walking Dead. you pull up your DVR, it's an hour-long episode. You don't think anything's wrong. But it turns out if you didn't DVR the season finale of Into the Badlands, you missed the entire last half hour of the show, which included all of the good stuff. And it just kind of, the episode just sort of ends on the low note of, like, Lydia sitting watching the movie and having Alpha take her hand. And you're like, what a stupid episode that was. And you don't even know that you missed the whole death of Henry. It's so upsetting that AMC would do this to people.
On top of that, I think a lot of people probably, they DVR The Walking Dead. And maybe they say, oh, let me DVR The Talking Dead also, because that's on right after. So if there's ever anything that's screwy, or if it's a long episode, then I record The Talking Dead also, and that's on right after. But not this time, because I got to squeeze in Into the Badlands in between. And so it was a night where it was Walking Dead, then Into the Badlands, and then Talking Dead at like whatever hour that was on. And it was not a good episode of The Talking Dead either, because it was, you know, on a night like, okay, you feel like, all right, you got to figure, all right, let's get, you know, Alana Masterson. Let's get Enid there. Can you guess what the panel? I gave you Scott Gimple. Can you guess who else was on the panel?
Well, you told, you also gave me Henry, right?
No, Henry. No, they couldn't get Henry.
They couldn't even get Henry?
It was the best thing about the show.
Oh, well, good. There's no Henry. I guess you had that going.
They couldn't get Henry.
So they just got, so there was no surprise dead person?
Oh, there was.
Was it the guy that played Ozzy?
No.
Was it Brett Butler?
Yes.
That was the best. That was their star power, was Brett Butler.
Yes, they had Brett Butler.
Talking Dead has really not had a very good time this season.
Chris Hardwick said they would have gotten more people, but there's a big Walking Dead fan convention going on in Germany, so they couldn't get any. They couldn't get anybody on The Talking Dead.
Well, who has been doing The Talking Dead lately?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't exactly get Norman Reedus anymore.
They had the season premiere, I think they had Norman Reedus and also Negan.
Yeah, but then they haven't gotten anybody. Like, mm-hmm. I think, like, when your star power is Yvette Nicole Brown and her binder,
mm-hmm.
you know, you got to examine your life choices, Talking Dead.
Yeah, so it was not a star-studded gathering for the Talking Dead this week.
Yeah, you think they're going to get somebody good next week?
I don't know. I guess it depends what happens. Like, I don't even think they could get Danai Gurira at this point.
Well, no, she's very busy being left out of movie posters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, okay, we'll see. I don't think he'd get Alpha.
Yeah, you would think.
Maybe they could get Beta.
Well, I don't think they want us to see Beta's face. Like, you'd have to come on in full makeup.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jess, where do we go from here? With this? So the season finale is coming. We were introduced to another zombie horde. It's like that we've done this before.
Yeah, it does seem like at a certain point, the zombies stop being scary. And that's something I think Walking Dead has struggled with. Like, every season, the zombies get a little bit less scary because they're kind of easier to kill and they're not replenishing themselves at the same rate. And it's just like, oh, it's another herd. Well, we've taken out a herd that size before.
Yeah.
Or what if this is even the same herd? Like, what if this is the same one they led away from Alexandria all those years ago and now it's back?
I guess it's possible.
But Eugene, like, names all the herds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a new thing. Like, he's kind of, it's weird that a herd that close to them is something that Eugene wouldn't already be tracking.
That's right. Yeah. He used to be tracking that stuff and have, like, some sort of, like, sophisticated, like, weather system that he was reporting to Rick. But maybe that technology sort of fell by the wayside.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he got preoccupied with being in the dunk tank.
So, yeah, Eugene and Rosita had like a couple of weird moments in this episode too.
Yeah, I think
it's like, oh, well, let's you know, check in with Eugene.
There's a threshold of things, and I will explain to you a little bit later on why I think those scenes existed.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a certain threshold at which point I don't want to see him pining for her anymore. He needs to move on. He needs to find somebody else. Or he needs to be okay with being alone and be okay with who he is.
Yeah.
You can't truly love others until you love yourself, Eugene.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about from the calm before the dot, dot, dot? Or do you want to talk about the comic books?
I've got a lot of comic books.
Okay. All right. So for our listeners, you don't want to hear about the comic book zone, what could be coming next week. Hope this was worth the wait to talk about. Have I talked enough about Henry?
Rob, if you want to go off on Henry again next week, I'm sure they'll still be mourning him, so you can complain then.
Well, let me just say in summary, we spent 7 episodes here in a row. I think we spent all 3 of the episodes from the first half setting up this story of what ultimately was this story of love for Lydia, that little bug Lydia, and ultimately it got him killed. And I was here for it. I wish it could have happened on screen. He was a stupid idiot. And he really, you know, put everybody he loved in grave danger. He was responsible for his original love interest, Enid, also dying. So a lot of collateral damage here with Henry.
Yeah, it's true. But the thing is, we got to lose him now or he would risk becoming a main character. And we don't want that.
Okay. All right. And that being said, let's go into this week's Comic Book Zone.
Comic Book Zone. Tune out now as spoilers aren't what you want to know. Avoid hearing plot points about Rick or Michonne. Now's the last chance to turn off during the intro. Comic Book Zone.
Okay. All right. Jess, Henry's not under the dumpster, is he?
No, Henry is dead. Dead is. Okay. Well, how could you be like, unless Alpha is some kind of animatronics genius, I think Henry's definitely dead.
Okay. Thank goodness. Okay.
He dead. But right. The thing is, we got to kill him here. This is not how it goes down in the comics, obviously, but yeah, we got to kill him here.
Because he's taken over the Carl storyline in the comic books. And obviously Carl's not going to get beheaded.
No, Carl did not die at this point in the comics, and Carl went on to continue to be a major player. And so it's kind of like they needed to have a teenage boy character in here to bring the Whisperers in. Otherwise, they have to completely scrap it and do something totally different. So Henry has served his purpose, and now he can die.
Okay. Well,
so that's that. But that is but one of the many interesting differences between this scene on the show and this scene in the comics.
Okay. All right. Who gets on the heads on the pike in the comics? Anybody of note?
Oh, yeah. Oh, are they ever? I'm going to pull up the full list here for a second because I think it's worth noting that the two major characters that died on the spikes in the comics that did not die on the show, that this is going to come back, are King Ezekiel and Rosita.
Ooh.
And a lot of the very, what was to you, inexplicable storytelling around these two characters in this episode was the show trying to fake out the comic readers.
They do that? They mess with people?
Oh, yeah. They totally mess with people, especially with something this big, because, Rob, you have to understand, Josh Wigler and I have been sitting here all season long waiting for this particular moment and this particular scene to see whose heads are going to be up on those spikes. We did a heads on spikes draft, which, by the way, I won.
Was that on a podcast?
Yeah, we did the book club podcast at the beginning of the season half, and we did a heads on spikes draft. And we picked some of the characters from the comics we thought might be on their way out, and we were wrong. The only one that we guessed 6 people, and I guessed Enid, and I was right.
But
we both thought this was going to be curtains for King Ezekiel and for Rosita because the arcs were so similar on the show. And Rosita in particular, being in a relationship with one man and being pregnant by another man. And they were like,
too
how
complicated.
Are we going to resolve this? So complicated. How are we going to resolve this love triangle? And the way they resolved it was she got her head chopped off. And, you know, there's points in the comics where they have done some dark stuff that the show is not ready to address. And I think beheading a pregnant woman might be one of those things.
And murdering King Ezekiel will be another.
That is true. And I'm so glad we get more King Ezekiel because I love him. And I think Kari Payton has done so much with the character. I think he's elevated the comic character who, to me, sometimes the comic character to me felt like a much older guy who was not quite so vital and quite so, like, he had the theatrics down for sure, but he also seemed like kind of cuckoo. And where I think King Ezekiel is like, he's very kingly. And, you know, I would totally want to live at the kingdom and I'd follow that dude. And there's an energy to him that is not present in the comics at all. And so I'm really glad that we're keeping him around. But there was a point in the show where he's talking to Alpha and Alpha says, can you show me where the clothing booth is? And he's
it's
like,
it's going to be
right
a cold
way.
Winter, King.
Winter is
yes,
coming.
You are creeping me out, good woman.
And he, you know, he shepherds her off screen. And it's like, I was 100% sure at that moment that Alpha was going to, as soon as they got off screen, Alpha was just going to murder him. And he was going to be the last head we saw on the Pikes. And you would see Carol having that reaction. Only that reaction would be justified.
What was with Alpha just killing a random Whisperer for no reason?
Oh, that's in the comics, too.
Well, please indulge me.
Well, the reason, and I think the reason is also semi-clear on the show. It was a little kind of out of nowhere. But the reason is that that Whisperer sees Alpha crying and being like genuinely upset over losing Lydia.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't let you see my real emotion.
Yep. So that's exactly what happened. And in the comics, it's a little more like there's a little more conversation around it. Like there was no conversation in the show. Like the guy just sort of saw her and he's like, oh, you're having a moment. I'll back off. And she's like, no, come here. And then she kills him.
Mm-hmm.
But in the comics, it's like the person comes up and like tries to have a Deanna Troi moment with her. Like, I sense you're upset. You know, mm-hmm. It's okay to have emotions. She's like, no, it's not. Kill.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else comes up and is like, whoa, why'd you kill that guy? She's like, oh, he tried to challenge me. I'm the Alpha.
Mm-hmm. I'm Alpha. Don't call me Debbie.
That's not my name.
That's not my name.
Exactly.
Yep.
So that is also something that is taken almost directly from the comics, although it does happen a little bit later on in the comics. As we're gearing up to have an actual confrontation with the Whisperers.
Okay. All right. So, Jess, where do we go from here with next week's episode? This is going to be now the long break. This is the summer is low winter sun is coming and no Walking Dead after next week until October.
That is correct.
Okay. Does Fear the Walking Dead start in 2 weeks? I have nothing about it, if that's the case.
I have no idea. I'm a bad television podcaster information source.
No, but I mean, they have not promoted anything if Fear the Walking Dead is around the corner.
There's a release window.
Mm-hmm.
So that does not sound promising. It's it says June.
Okay. All right. So
we got some time.
Yeah. Well, they'd be fools to go up against the final season of Game of Thrones with the Fear of the Walking Dead. But that's a story for another time. Okay.
I think they understand that I need a break.
Yes. Okay. All right. So season finale, Jess. Well, what do you anticipate we will see in the season finale?
Well, the season finale does not look like the way that things go in the comics. So it's anybody's guess what exactly we're doing. It looks like they have much bigger fish to fry at this point. They would like to do something about the Whisperers, but they also have to deal with this early snowstorm that has shut everything down. And you know how snowstorms are in the South.
Mm-hmm.
You get an inch of snow and like everything is just
It's going to be a cold winter.
I hope you got your trendy knitwear. I like a cow neck. I shouldn't try to do voices, but it's irresistible.
Please do more.
You're the voice master, Rob. but I think we should be looking to expect a confrontation. If we're not getting one next episode, they're at least going to start preparing for one, because the Whisperers are bad news and they got to be taken out.
Okay. You think that we will potentially end the Whisperer threat next week, or they're definitely going into season 10?
From what I understand, they're definitely going into season 10.
Yeah.
The thing that is less clear is I think we do not know what exactly Danai Gurira is going to be doing in season 10.
Mm-hmm.
We know that it is potentially, she has said it is her last and she will not be coming. But we don't know if she's going to be there the whole season or if she's going to Rick Grimes it out. Maybe she's going to go look for Rick. That's a big question mark for me. Like, I don't know what she's going to do. I hope she goes off on a ship, because that's my favorite scene in all of the comics, but we'll see.
I mean, she has two small children. I mean, she can't just, like, you know, walk off. And now they've set up Judith as like a, she's going to leave Judith behind.
Well, I mean, having a child didn't stop Maggie.
But she took baby Herschel with her.
Yeah, so why can't Michonne take her kids with her?
That Danai can leave the show, but Judith is here for the long haul.
Judith is pretty iconic. I don't know what they would do with her. Maybe it's like, oh, you're 12 now. You can have your own house.
Yeah, I think they'd have to kill her off.
They're not going to kill Judith.
Michonne, I was saying.
Oh, they're not. I think it's plausible that Michonne and RJ will go off looking for Rick.
Okay. Oh, boy. Like the Goonies? The kids are going to go look for him?
Well, Michonne is an adult.
Oh, with Michonne, too. Yeah, but Judith isn't going to leave.
Judith is probably going to stay there, but she might go move in with somebody else.
Yeah, the AMC is banking on her as the star of the show in 2 years.
I mean, she's pretty great. And I hear there's an opening for an apprenticeship over at the Hilltop.
Mm-hmm. She could be a blacksmith. Sure.
Sure.
What do we do with that little bug, Lydia, now?
Well, I think she and Daryl have some interesting ground to cover now. I think Daryl has proven himself to be someone that, if you come from an abusive past, he takes a shining to you and he wants to help you through that. And I think we get some echoes here of his relationship with Beth Green. I think he feels sort of paternal toward Lydia, and I think he's going to help her integrate into wherever she winds up. I think the two of them have some ground to explore.
Okay. All right. Jess, anything else you want to talk about here with our season 9, episode 15, where we had all of these deaths?
Well, I think I touched on this before the comic book zone began, but I thought it was so masterful how they did this reveal, because it's identical to how it was done in the comics. You would have a scene of somebody looking for the person, and then you would have the head on the pike. Mm-hmm. And they had to do that because the style of the art wouldn't necessarily allow you to identify the character right off the bat. You had to kind of give some context to, like, oh, this is this person, this is this person. And they're not all equally important, obviously. And they kind of led up to the most important. And this was done much the same way. It was like, okay, this character isn't somebody we've seen a lot of, but they've been around. They're somebody you know a little bit, and somebody out there potentially really loves them and misses them. And I thought that was really beautifully done in the comics, and I'm thrilled that it translated so well to the show.
Yeah, it was shot very well, that whole reveal, in terms of, like, it was like something out of Game of Thrones, in terms of just like being out on like this windy hill where these heads were all set up. So that was really, really well done.
Yeah, it was.
CGI heads did not look great, but other than that, I thought it was...
Those were not CGI. Those were practical effects.
Practical effects? Well, I don't know.
They should have CGI'd them. It might have been a little bit better.
Yeah. So, yeah. It was not great.
No.
I really had a hard time, like, wait, who is that supposed to be? Like, I had been spoiled that, like certain people had died. So I was like, okay. But there were some people, I'm like, oh, wait, am I supposed to know who that is?
Yeah. Like, and there's one guy that, like, you literally saw for 10 seconds earlier. And it's like, oh, that's a bridge too far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Speaking of the bridge that Carl and Rick and even Jesus got shout outs from Ezekiel at the fair. So that it was not all in vain.
Nope. And I thought that was also like the scene where they are all fighting back is not in the comics at all. And I thought that was a really lovely addition that gives a little context and fleshes out because the season has been so much about like everybody divided and they're coming back together, which was not a part of the comics. So they did a good job of like putting us all back on that track.
All right, Jess, you've done an incredible job tonight. It is very late for you. So I appreciate your stick-to-itiveness with this, your persistence to take us through everything here in the comic books. And it does not go unappreciated.
Would you say I have a good head on my shoulders?
Yes, a great, great head on your shoulders. Jessica Lise is on Twitter. She's at Haymaker Hattie. We'll be back after the season finale. We're good for Sunday next week?
Yes, we are good for Sunday next week.
Okay. All right. I am at Rob Sestrino. The Game of Thrones podcast is going to be back on Wednesday, our season 7, episode 6, as we close out our rewatch. And then over on Rob has a podcast, Rob Nakiva Need a Podcast, specifically the TV theme song March Madness Bracket is going to drop sometime on Tuesday. So if you are a TV theme song fan, be sure to check that out. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.